Thursday, July 10th, Feast of the Seven Holy Brothers, Martyrs. The lesson from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. Who shall find a valiant woman? The price of her is as of things brought from afar off and from the uttermost coasts. The heart of her husband trusteth in her, and he shall have no need of spoils. She will render him good and not evil all the days of her life. She hath sought wool and flax, and hath wrought by the counsel of her hands. She is like the merchant's ship, she bringeth her bread from afar. And she hath risen in the night, and given a prey to her household, and victuals to her maidens. She hath considered a field and bought it. With the fruit of her hands she hath planted a vineyard. She hath girded her loins with strength, and hath strengthened her arm. She hath tasted and seen that her traffic is good. Her lamp shall not be put out in the night. She hath put out her hands to strong things, and her fingers have taken hold of the spindle. She hath opened her hand to the needy, and stretched out her hands to the poor. She shall not fear for her house in the cold of snow, for all her domestics are clothed with double garments. She hath made for herself clothing of tapestry, fine linen and purple is her covering. Her husband is honorable in the gates, when he sitteth among the senators of the land. She made fine linen and sold it, and delivered a girdle to the Canaanite. Strength and beauty are her clothing, and she shall laugh in the latter day. She hath opened her mouth to wisdom, and the law of clemency is on her tongue. She hath looked well to the paths of her house, and hath not eaten her bread idle. Her children rose up and called her blessed, her husband, and he praised her. Many daughters have gathered together riches, thou hast surpassed them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Haydock Commentary. These verses contain a grand eulogy of Bathsheba, who repented, or of a perfect matron. Such are rare, though they may be found. Ladies of the highest quality formerly employed themselves in skill and industry, like Penelope. Alexander, Augustus, and Charlemagne wore garments which their sisters or wives had wrought. She rises early in the morning. Extreme vigilance is required of those who direct others. Cato says, the master must be first up and last in bed. Many natural qualifications are named, but to these the Christian matron must add sincere piety, and thus Solomon completes the character of his mother, who had given him such excellent instructions. Outward beauty soon decays, but the fear of God is more deserving of praise. Good works shall be rewarded at God's tribunal when the vain worldly beauty shall be covered with confusion. This idea of a perfect woman is best verified in the Catholic Church, says St. Augustine in Venerable Bede, though the Blessed Virgin Mary may also be designated. Haydock Commentary. These verses contain a grand eulogy of Bathsheba, who repented, or of a perfect matron. Such are rare, though they may be found. Ladies of the highest quality formerly employed themselves in skill and industry, like Penelope. Alexander, Augustus, and Charlemagne wore garments which their sisters or wives had wrought. She rises early in the morning. Extreme vigilance is required of those who direct others. Cato says, the master must be first up and last in bed. Many natural qualifications are named, but to these the Christian matron must add sincere piety. And thus Solomon completes the character of his mother, who had given him such excellent instructions. Outward beauty soon decays, but the fear of God is more deserving of praise. Good works shall be rewarded at God's tribunal when the vain worldly beauty shall be covered with confusion. This idea of a perfect woman is best verified in the Catholic Church, says St. Augustine in Venerable Bede, though the Blessed Virgin Mary may also be designated. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, seeking to speak to him. And one said to him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, seeking thee. But he, answering him that told him, said, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And stretching forth his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father that is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. You will ask, who were those who in the Gospels are called the brethren of Christ? The impure heretic Helvidius answered that they were children of the Blessed Virgin who were born after Christ, for he denied her perpetual virginity. But St. Jerome sharply and learnedly refutes him in the work which he wrote against him. The Greeks generally, with Eusebius, and of the Latins, Saints Hilary and Ambrose, think that they were children of Joseph by a former marriage. But Joseph never had any other wife except the Blessed Virgin Mary. St. Peter Damian says that this is the faith of the Church. I say that these persons were not properly the brethren of Christ, nor the offspring of the Blessed Virgin Mary, nor Joseph, but are called brethren, that is, cousins or relations of Christ, by a mode of expression common in Hebrew. They stood without seeking to speak to him, not out of ambition and pride, that they might appear to be relations of so great a teacher and prophet, but that they might take him with them and bring him to Nazareth. Christ responded, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" He speaks thus not as denying that he really had a mother, as if Christ were not a true man, but a phantasm born of a phantasm, nor yet as though he were ashamed of his mother and poor brethren, but either because this messenger was interrupting him with too great boldness and importunity by calling him away from the preaching which he had begun, or rather, as St. Ambrose says, that he might show that he must be more intent upon the ministry given him by his father than upon his affection for his mother, and that he must prefer spiritual to carnal relationships. "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father is my brother and sister and mother," that is, spiritually, not carnally. The faithful soul is also the mother of Christ, because by teaching, exhorting, and counseling, she brings forth Christ in herself and others. St. Gregory says, "We must know that he who is the brother and sister of Christ through believing is made his mother by preaching, for he, as it were, brings forth the Lord, whom he infuses into the heart of his hearer." He subjoins the example of St. Felicity, who by the Spirit bore to God the seven sons to whom she had given birth in the flesh, because she strengthened them in persecution and animated them for martyrdom. These words of Christ were also exemplified in St. Victoria, a virgin martyr under Diocletian. She said to the proconsul who asked her, "Wilt thou go with Fortunatinus, thy brother, who was a heathen?" "No, for I am a Christian, and those are my brethren who keep the commandments of God." Wherefore she was shut up in prison, and perishing by hunger, obtained the martyr's crown.